34 together, please.
Request of Casey Putterbaugh to address council regarding Forest Park, 1132. Request of Will Atchison to address council regarding the potential expansion of mountain biking in Forest Park, at 1133. Request of Marcy Hooley to address council regarding the 6-point wildlife plan and recreation activity proposed for Forest Park at 1134. Request of Paul Mashkoot to address council regarding off-road cycling in Forest Park.
Very good. Please come on up. 3 minutes each, and if you could just state your name for the record. And maybe we could also get an additional chair. Would you mind just grabbing one of those chairs at the end and pull that up, too? Thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, we got it. It's good. Thanks, Mustafa. Good morning and welcome.
Morning. Morning.
Should we just go down the line? Is that?
What do you want me to go first?
Or Casey.
Go
ahead.
Yeah,
very good.
My name's first,
Casey,
on the docket. I'll go first. So
thank you.
Good morning. How you doing? First off, let me begin with who am I to be giving testimony on behalf of Forest Park? Well, I'm Casey Putterbaugh, a golfer, runner, hiker, and wearer of many hats, one of which is a bike helmet. While that alone may not make me worthy of speaking for Forest Park, my tangible knowledge and experience in the field of conservation learned during my adventures in New Zealand say otherwise. For my work there brought me face-to-face with single-track trails and a conservationist perspective. Now, it is not as if I landed in New Zealand without some semblance of what conservation meant or, you know, kind of how to go about it. However, once I was actually boots on the ground and knee-deep in gorse and flax, I began to understand the Kiwi definition of conservation. During my 3-month volunteer assignment there, our group covered most all of the North Island. We spent time on protected coastal lands and accessible to the public, studying fur seal populations, or repairing and building bridges and pathways in nature preserves so that the public could experience the lush plants and exotic species that are of birds that are native to New Zealand, which were greatly diminished by clear-cutting and destructive colonials. Rather quickly, we were faced with the importance of conservation on a national level. From the outset, the work was dirty. More often than not, we returned home caked with mud, our shoes and clothes heavy and saturated with dirt and sweat. Yet, we always rose early the next day to do it all again. Rain or shine, exhausted and bruised, we would squeeze into the van off on our next adventure. And, as luck would have it, one of those mornings took us to a desolate summit just north of downtown Wellington. I know, a desolate summit is the antithesis of Forest Park, but that's exactly the point. In 2006, during my time in New Zealand, only 22% of its native forests remained. Not only are two of the previously 5 species of kiwi birds extinct because of settlers clearing forests and their introduction of rats and domesticated animals such as cats and dogs, but the people are scrambling to preserve what they have, if not bring the native forest back at least a little bit. When I queried our team leader, Toby, a conservationist, a native of Wellington, as to what our work would be on such a visitorless hilltop, he remarked we would be repairing and building bike trails. That honestly made not a lick of sense to me because there was really nothing to see. But in hindsight, Toby made complete sense that morning. You see, the type of bike trails that we worked on happened to be for single-track use. And what better place to construct bike trails meant for blind turns, higher speeds, and off-road with no risk of endangering pedestrians. The city of Wellington purposely built single-track trails ostensibly in the middle of nowhere with the sole purpose of protecting the surrounding ecosystem and the people living, while giving mountain bikers a place to ride, and biking is far more popular in Portland. Therefore, when I saw the petition seeking support for Forest Park and the majority of its visitors, I could not refrain from voicing my opinion. If a country had to lose more than 3/4 of its forests and 2 species of birds before it realized it had to change its ways and protect the natural beauty and ecosystems it possessed, why in the world would Portland honestly consider acquiescing to the demands of the smallest minority of cyclists and destroy the country's largest inner-city park in one of Portland's gems. To prevent that, Portland must care for and tend to its beautiful backyard.
Thank you for your testimony. Will, do you want to go next?
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Will Atchison. I was reflecting on the way over here. I've addressed this council since Frank Ivancy sat in your seat, but always only about police issues. Today I'd like to talk to you about the expansion of mountain biking in Forest Park. And I bring several perspectives to this. I'm a user of Forest Park. I bike there. I run there. I walk there. I've spent hundreds, if not thousands, of hours that are there. And I bring to you a perspective of a longtime Oregonian. My grandfather moved to Portland, when the first land grants that now make up Forest Park occurred in the 1800s. My father was born here 5 years after the tremendous study by Frederick Olmsted that gave us Forest Park eventually. I am heartened to see that the discussion of the expansion of mountain biking in Forest Park seems to have moved away from single track trails like Wildwood and Wild Cherry and Dogwood and the like. But the proposal that remains out there, the creation of bicycle-only trails or creation of mixed-use trails, is just as troublesome. I want to show you a video. It's a short video. It's on YouTube, and I want to set it up just a bit. This is a video that's been on YouTube for 7 years. It is taken of a mountain biker in Forest Park. This mountain biker starts in a legal place for mountain biking, Saltzman, and is headed to Fire Lane 5, a legal place for mountain biking in Forest Park. It's what happens in the middle that is troubling. I have edited this video for time. The city made distinct promises to the community with the Forest Park Management Plan that it would not expand uses of Forest Park without making sure that the ecological, wildlife, and community pieces were in place. There is a time and a place for the expansion of mountain biking in Forest Park. The time is not now. It is not until the basic promises of preservation of the park, wildlife study, and even as simple a matter as putting up signs, much less enforcement, are met. Please put the brakes on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcy, you want to go
next? Hi. I'm Marcy Houle, a wildlife biologist and author, and have been involved with the ecological studies of Portland's Forest Park for 30 years. Working with other regional and nationally known scientists, I assisted in creating the specifications of the Forest Park Natural Resources Management Plan for the protection of Forest Park wildlife and natural ecosystem. Ordinance 168509, which is the Forest Park Management Plan, clearly states that a six-point wildlife plan must be completed for Forest Park before any new use or change in use can be permitted. This is environmental code and land use law. The six requirements in the plan are as follows. One, to begin regular monitoring of natural resources to determine if they are being sustained, improved, or degraded. Two, to coordinate wildlife monitoring with recreation monitoring. Three, to develop a monitoring protocol. Four, to establish permanent wildlife monitoring stations. Five, to monitor stations on an annual basis. And six, to conduct periodic nighttime wildlife censuses. To date, none of these 6 points, as required by law, has been done. And these requirements were put into place by scientists and managers to establish what the carrying capacity of Forest Park is. This baseline must be determined before allowing any increase or change in use in Forest Park to ensure that the health of the resource can be guaranteed, which is the top priority for Forest Park, as stated in the ordinance. In 2012, under the direction and fine direction of Commissioner Fish, Portland Parks conducted a wildlife report and a two-day snapshot of Forest Park wildlife, which I was also a leader. We need to be clear, though. All involved in this report have said this two-day field study and the report is not a baseline. And there's no user group that's being singled out by this law. We're not singling out narrow path cyclists, just as we aren't singling out equestrians who are desiring more bridle paths, dog lovers who are desiring more off-leash parks, hikers who desire more connected trails, and runners who would like to have obstacle courses. There are lots of desires for Forest Park, but the fact remains the health of the park is the top priority by law. The ordinance is written so that all groups must comply and be held to the same standards to protect the unique ecological features of Forest Park for the benefit of future generations. Well, one of Oregon's greatest senators, Senator Richard Neuberger, penned a national article in 1956 about Forest Park. In the piece, he showcased its value and its vision, and he wrote, "Portland's boundaries enclose a wilderness that he and generations have treasured." He ended with, "I truly hope there will always be men and women in Portland who will fight to keep it that way." So my question for you is, after 70 years of careful management to preserve this unique place and recognize treasure with natural resources that are not known by any other major city, will you be the council that stood up for them? Or will you be known as the council that disregarded the law and let the vision die? Thank you.
Marcy, can I just make one quick comment? Because, after all, you wrote the book. We haven't taken this issue up yet, and it's not clear when it's actually going to come to council for final resolution. But my understanding is that the committee looking at this looks citywide and identified other opportunities.
Yes.
So one of the things that would be helpful for me as you make the arguments which you have consistently and in a principled way made about Forest Park is if at some point you let us know about the other options on the table that some people view as sort of safety valves or alternatives, which of those do you think council should embrace? And I'm not asking you to say now, but perhaps at some point in email, let us know what aspects you support in other locations, because at some point, my guess is council is going to have to find the right balance.
I think that's a brilliant idea, and I think that's really helpful.
My name is Paul Mike, and I'm a 33-year resident of Portland and an attorney. Human activity threatens to extinguish half the species still surviving into this century, according to Edward O. Wilson in Half Earth. Yet there remain many reservoirs of the Earth's biodiversity that can be saved for future generations if those alive today will have the will to act on their behalf. Forest Park animals evolved over centuries owing to each animal's specific adaptations to its habitat, according to Marcy Houle in One City's Wilderness. With the exception, perhaps, of martens, all of the species that Lewis and Clark recorded in 1806 still can be observed in Forest Park. In my August letters, I pointed out Forest Park plan and city ordinance was created to maintain the park's wilderness quality while allowing appropriate passive recreational use. The plan struck a bargain and balance by not allowing mountain bikes on the steep, soft dirt surfaces of the park, but only on 30 miles of roads and hard-packed surfaces of some fire lanes. In words still true today, in 1995, the Planning Commission stated, "While the park has been preserved in one sense through public ownership and environmental zoning, recreational overuse, exotic plants and animals, inadequate park staffing and financial resources threaten to degrade the forest ecosystem and the park's special wilderness character. The Forest Park Plan provides essential strategies and actions needed to address these threats and properly manage both natural resources and recreational use." In my letters and Marcy Houle's testimony, we point out ordinance requirements staff have ignored by proposing new mountain bike trails in the park through the ORCMP. Mountain bikes tear up habitat and disturb wildlife well outside the trail and disrupt their nesting and foraging behavior. Creating new single-track trails for bikers will fragment existing habitat and displace wildlife in new areas, reducing the diversity and number of wildlife species there. The process of fragmentation of natural habitat is, for all practical purposes, irreversible. The only way to accommodate mountain bikers' desires to have more challenging and engaging riding experience without degrading the natural resources of Forest Park is to develop other recreational areas for mountain bikes as the 1995 plan envisioned, such as Gateway Green. In my October letter, I pointed out mountain biking exposes hikers and riders to the danger of serious injuries. The design, construction, and maintenance of mountain bike trails exposes the city and its employees to expensive liability for personal injuries. Forest Park can be saved for future generations if you act on behalf of the park and not allow mountain biking down those steep, soft dirt slopes of Forest Park. I've given you my three letters. I gave it to the clerk. I've sent three letters, two in August, one in October, and I've given you my testimony here today. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Thanks for coming in. Carla has